Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, here at it again with my co-host, who's very happy today. And if you're watching this on video, you'll see why. Yes. He's sporting his Team Canada with a really important win last night. Al, you were just reveling in this, aren't you?
Of course. It's a good day. And last night just set up today to be a perfect day. But that being said, of course, we always look forward to our podcast guests. So put the two together. What could be better?
Yeah, and I've said this so many times about the podcast. One of the things I love is the community that has been built, and we get these introductions to amazing people. And we talked about it in the last podcast we recorded today, so you'll hear that coming out soon. But really good people know other really good people. And a really good person I was introduced to recently was Lori Fainer, who is the founder and CEO at Dynamic Alchemy Advisors. And welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you, gents, for having me. I'm really excited to be here and share a little bit about my journey.
Well, we're going to share a little bit about you first because it's bio time. So hopefully this isn't uncomfortable for you, but I want to talk about you for a little bit. Lori has a career spanning over 18 years and has been at the forefront of transformative HR strategies, shaping the future of organizations by putting people first. Most recently, as the Chief People Officer at Peerage Realty Partners, Lori didn't just lead. She set the vision, guiding the people function across North America to build a culture that prioritizes employees while driving business performance. Lori's career is defined by her ability to ignite change in organizations. Her expertise spans talent acquisition, change management, and leadership development, helping businesses unlock their potential while inspiring people within them. Welcome to the show. This is so great to have this conversation.
Thank you. No, I'm really excited to be here. I always love the opportunity to connect with folks in a different way.
Well, I think I've said this a few times on the podcast, and people have said, I want to steal that. So feel free to steal it. But I call them our initial calls chemistry calls. And the reason why is I just want to know we can actually have a conversation with this person. And of course, our chemistry call was amazing. Had a first call. And Lori, I left our first call thinking, geez, I wonder if there's a way to record these and put them out as posts, because those initial conversations are always really good. Podcast conversations are great too, but those initial conversations, when you just click with someone, I think are really special. So maybe there's something we do there in the future. But one of the things that we talked about in that early conversation was about confidence and bravery and how you felt that those were crucial in leadership. Can you maybe talk to us about how you've built these qualities throughout your career? And maybe for some of our younger audience who are coming up, how do they go about building that so that they have that in their career as well?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head with those chemistry calls. It's about that authenticity, that initial conversation that you have where you're just showing up as yourself. The stakes are really low. And oftentimes I find as you're working at organizations and as you progress, everything feels a little bit like you're under a microscope and you stop being able to show up as who you are, especially, you know, we've had a tumultuous few years, let's call it, in the workforce, and building that sense of confidence and bravery, allowing somebody to show up as their best self really is critical to creating trust in organizations. And that really is the foundation that gets organizations through these tumultuous times. So it's something I really enjoy talking about. I think it's a mix of embracing failure, as opposed to seeing it as a bad thing, seeing it as a learning opportunity, and really creating that chance to learn and grow in a safe environment. So there's this part of what I've been doing in my spare time is taking courses on conflict resolution. And one of the concepts that we talk about is unconditional positive regard. So it's from a psychologist named Carl Rogers. And it's about accepting and respecting others as they are. And it's actually something that I don't think I appreciated as much earlier in my career. But now, having worked across multiple industries for many years, that's actually the true foundational piece in creating it as a leader, an environment where people can be confident, they can be brave, because they know that they can trust the people around them, that people are going to not judge them, they're not going to criticize, they're really going to treat it as a learning opportunity. So I would say to, you know, folks that are newer in the working world, seek out those mentors, build a supportive network that you can test these ideas with, develop a deeper relationship with your leader where possible, be able to ask for feedback. It always sounds cliche to say that feedback is a gift, but if you are working in an environment that really does prioritize bravery, confidence, connection, collaboration, your leaders will be able to give you that feedback as a way of learning. It's a tool to grow.
Lori, I'm going back to that, just echoing what you said about that chemistry call, right? And that's why we do it. It's really important that there is a connection. We do feel we have a conversation and we're kind of on the same page, even if we have different ideas about business, that we can actually continue and it's not going to be awkward. And sometimes I laugh because I'll bring Al onto these calls and I'm a lot right off the get-go. If you don't like me, it's not going to work. And I think that works to our favor because most of the time I feel someone like yourself, and it happened with you, you just matched my energy and we were clicking along and it was great. And I think that works to our favor because if that scares you off, that's probably not going to be a good fit. But I also wanted to dive a little bit deeper into something you said about failure and, you know, accepting failure. And almost, I would say I almost look for failure because I know, same as in a sales position, I want to get to know as soon as possible that person saying no so that I can move on. Same for failure. But that's hard to do, in my mind, when you're younger. When you're all full of hope and vim and vigor and failure hits, that's sometimes challenging, especially when you're younger in your career. What advice would you give to people around, hey, that's not the end of the world. This is actually a good thing. You might not see it right now, because I think the three of us sitting here have the benefit of wisdom. That's a nice way of putting it.
Yep.
That we've seen around the corners. That is something I didn't realize until I worked with a coach who was older than me and more experienced than me. And he saw around corners that I hadn't seen around yet. So what would you say to some of those people about failure specifically, that's okay. You are going to run into it, but here's how you can address that.
I really do think that it's about being able to take that step back, putting a realistic lens. It goes back to that network that you build. And it's like your own network of trusted advisors. It's being able to share with a colleague, share with a friend, hey, this thing happened. Can we unpack it? Can we talk about it? And again, it goes back to that unconditional positive regard of, if you believe that you're doing your best and the people you're working with are doing their best and there's no judgment and no criticism, it really starts to unlock this ability to reframe failure. But it's hard to reframe it, right? And so it's understanding, who are you spending time with? Who are you talking to? Who do you work with? Who could you build some of those trust and that support network? And I would say over the course of my career, it's that support network that's really helped me go from point A to point B to point C, because we really just want to see each other succeed. There's no competition. We can have honest and forthright conversations and we encourage each other to grow. It's that difference between fostering collaboration on the team, creating opportunities for people to collaborate and truly brainstorm, versus creating opportunities where there's a lot of competition and there's a winner and a loser, as opposed to we all win together and we all lose together. All ideas are good ideas. And I think seeking out opportunities to really share those ideas, build those networks, collaborate with others, I would tell, you know, anybody earlier in their career to be sensitive to those things in the cultures that they work in and the cultures and the organizations that they seek out.
Lori, you mentioned something there that I want to dive into maybe a little bit more deeply, and that is you used the words collaborative and competition. And I think business-wise, even culture-wise, it's so much is built around the competition, right? We're competing to be the best. Hey, We saw it in sports last night, right? There was a winner.
Yeah.
There was a loser. That's very much part of everyone's approach to daily life. So how do you think, and maybe this is a big question, so let's focus maybe just on business. How do we get people thinking more about collaboration versus competition?
I actually think what you do is you align the individual goals with the organizational goals, and you're clear and transparent about it. Suddenly, if people can tie themselves to the success of the organization they're in and they see themselves in those goals, they're more encouraged to show up and do their best work and work together, because they're all really working towards that ultimate best business outcome. And if everyone's working towards the best business outcome, they'll have the most competitive advantage, because ultimately across industries, it's about the people working there. It's about that connected value they have to the organization's values, to the organization's goals. And that's really when you draw out the best in people. When you create these kind of divisions between functions and it's us versus them, that's going to shut down collaboration, shut down idea sharing, and really halt people from bringing their best ideas to the table, best work to the table, because there's always going to be an element of fear. And ultimately, to drive best business outcomes, you've got to create that foundation of trust, which comes from some of these open environments of working together, having failure, having successes. So, you know, the converse of it is, as you're appreciating the failures, treating them as learning opportunities, you have to celebrate the successes, even if they're small.
So how would you maybe answer someone who said, I work best in a competitive environment? Like, that's who I am, right? I love to be out there. And if it's a competition, that's when I'm at my best. That's when I can do my best work. How would you say to them, yeah, but, or would you say, yeah, but?
I mean, I think competition is healthy, right? It breeds people rising to the occasion. But you can be competitive and rise to the occasion in an environment built on trust and built on collaboration. Again, going back to the unconditional positive regard, if you're doing your best work and they're doing their best work and you are pushing each other to be your best, that competition still exists. But it means at the end of the day, you're okay that, you know, somebody might have done better than you and you're going to celebrate them. Because ultimately, it's about the collective success as opposed to the individual success. And you just get there better, faster, quicker with better business results if you are together as a unit, even though you may be pushing each other for results, because it becomes about doing your best for yourself, somebody doing their best, but you guys pushing that limit on what is the best for the organization and the team.
Hey, Lori, just I want to stay on this for a second because you brought up a really important point that relates to our company, and it was the us versus them. And with our company specifically, there's two different brands within the same organization. We have three business partners, me, Al, and Joe, but for a lot of reasons, we have two different brands. So we have Life and Legacy Advisory Group over here. All the insurance and wealth side is over here. We have Aria Benefits, and then we have everything pension and benefits related over here. And when we're in our team meeting, there is a little bit of friendly competition. And even me, when I'm talking to my team, oh, I want to beat Life and Legacy this year, you know, but how do you make sure that you are all on the same page and it doesn't become that us versus them in a way that isn't conducive to running a business and accomplishing a goal together? Like, what's the best way to accomplish that?
I mean, I think it's really about encouraging growth together. So it's okay that, you know, you're egging your team on. I think that's great, but you're not having that kind of negative conversation about like, well, I know Al does these four things wrong, so we're going to target those four things and we're going to take him down. It's the language we choose to talk about the competition. We're talking about it like an uplifting thing. This is how we're going to drive business together. And at the end of it, we're all going to go out and grab dinner. And getting to know the team beyond just the work confines sometimes helps with that. Getting to see your colleagues as people and not just somebody behind a screen per se, that really helps. That humanizing, that humanity is really core to, you've got the developed competition, but you see them as people and you want to encourage them to grow. And it's not coming from a negative intention or a negative place. It really is about, I mean, as you said, your three business partners really working to the success of one business. It's okay to get everybody to galvanize together and do their best work in your division. But ultimately, it's so that the whole organization is lined up around the same values and the same goals.
Exactly.
Yeah, it seems like what I think I'm hearing is you can do both. It doesn't mean you have to be competitive or collaborative. You can be competitive and collaborative. They can work together.
Yeah, and it's that humanity piece, right? If we really do see our competitors as human, and we really do believe that everyone's doing their best work, suddenly competition is about, let's bring the best ideas together. Let's work for the best outcomes for the organization.
Lori, I want to go back to something that we talked about in your intro, which was authenticity. And maybe you can talk a little bit about how you see embracing authenticity at work, transforming team dynamics and contributing to overall success. Can you talk a little bit about that and maybe share an example where you saw this having a real impact?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think it's actually a really interesting topic because it's really hard right now. I felt during the pandemic, when everybody was showing up to work in their houses, right? There's a level of authenticity and a way we learned about our colleagues that just didn't exist before, right? Like people's pets are there, people's children are there. You know, some people are just rolling out of bed and getting on the camera. And over the time since the pandemic, I feel like we've shut that down more. And it's because, as I said earlier, the work environment's a really tumultuous place right now. Industries are really tumultuous. And I think we really do need to move back to creating a safe enough environment where people can show up as themselves. Some of the things that I coach my clients on is being able to embrace vulnerability, that it's okay to, as I said earlier, be human, have emotions, know that you can make a mistake, but learn from it, celebrate those successes, and always going back from an authentic place to those core values. What are your values? How do they line up with the organization? How do they line up with your colleagues? And are you feeling that you can be your authentic self because those values are in alignment? Cultivating resilience. We all get knocked down. We're all going to get back up. It's what you do in that moment to learn and grow and not be stopped by that. But again, relying on that support network to really help you get there. And setting boundaries. We talk about it like it's a, you know, it's a bad thing, but setting boundaries is so critical to being your authentic self. What it really means is you've drawn a line. And this is where the line exists for you. Nobody else has to do anything else. This is just your line for you. And communicating those boundaries often, making them clear to the people around you, all of that helps you show up as your authentic self because you're seeing respect from people. They're respecting those boundaries. You've got that supportive network that's really helping you be resilient during some of these challenging times when you are being vulnerable and showing your authentic self and really going back to what are the core values you have? How do they line up with the people around you? I would say earlier in my career, I've worked in a number of larger corporate organizations, smaller startup environments. It was hard to show up earlier in your career as yourself. You were constantly looking at the visual cues and the unspoken cues from the people around you. And it becomes about having the right answer all the time. That's what the competitive environment is. What's the right answer? How are you going to get there better, faster, quicker on your own because you had the best idea? And what I've really learned and what I coach my clients on is it's actually not about having that one best idea. What it's actually about is getting curious, asking good questions, creating a sense of working together because you care. Authentically, you care about the people around you. You care what they think. You want to hear about them. And that listening, that curiosity is really critical to being able to be your authentic self. And I feel like earlier in my career, I didn't appreciate that enough. It became about having the right answer as opposed to doing more listening, asking more questions, to be able to encourage people to be vulnerable and to share themselves.
Well, Lori, I'm glad that you talked about being your authentic self and having pets in the background, because I don't know if you can hear, but my dog is in the background right now barking. So you might hear that come in. So I'm glad that I can share some of that.
Lori, I'm so glad you're speaking about this because I may have shared this on the podcast a long time ago, so it'll be fresh for a lot of people. But just talking about vulnerability, and there's definitely a stage in your career where you're looking for those cues and you don't really want to show up as yourself. You want to fit in. You don't want to cause any turmoil. You certainly don't want to be the odd person out doing something a little bit different. But then at some point in your career, that does change, or it changes for a lot of people. And where it changed for me, and Al, you'll have to help me out. It was someone who had been on the podcast, and I apologize. I can't remember the name who it is right now. It'll come to me. But they had given us these slides. And Al, do you remember what those questions, and there were certain levels of questions.
Wasn't that Josh?
It was probably Josh. Joshua Siegel, wonderful person, just so insightful and caring and just a wonderful person to know and call a friend. But we sat in the office as three business partners and you had to pick a question and they're all designed to make you vulnerable. And we're sitting there. And at this point, you know, we're celebrating 20 years this year. We're probably 16 or 17 years into our business. And I've known Al and Joe. They're my business partners. They're my friends and know a lot about them, I think. And I came out of that meeting seeing tears stream down Al's face and Joe as well, and telling very vulnerable stories. And what it did was it took our relationship to another level. It also took, and I don't know how to phrase this, so it might not come out the right way, but I would work hard before for my business partners because I want us all to succeed. When we had taken the step to that level of vulnerability, now, hey, here's the shirt off my back sort of thing. Like you just get to another level because people were comfortable enough to share that vulnerability. And again, that's not easy to do in your early years. So as leadership, Lori, and you're coaching a lot of clients, what can we do as leadership to encourage, hey, this is a safe space. This is where you can show up to be your authentic self. And you are not going to be judged if you share certain things or you bring ideas that maybe you're a little bit nervous about bringing. Like, how can we create that open culture where people are going to feel comfortable about that?
I mean, I think it's a great question, right? Because it becomes about, as the anecdote you said, sharing those emotions actually creates deeper connections, right? It allows people to see you in a different light. And as a leader, leading with that level of authenticity is really important. Communicating with that level of authenticity, creating an environment where there are clear expectations, there's clear accountabilities. All of those components really help leaders. They lead with the authenticity, they create an environment of authenticity because everyone has the same level of expectation. Everyone has to work together in a clear way. And once you know what the lay of the land is, you absolutely can get there and achieve success. I think in that absence of communication, when everything feels a little bit murky, that's really where that fear comes in, that, you know, needing to have the right answer, that not being vulnerable, all of those pieces start to mushroom, right? And I think it's in that place of fear and misunderstanding, that's where a lot of those negative emotions build, and they kind of cut you off to be wanting to be vulnerable. But seeing, you know, as in the anecdote you shared, that vulnerability, I mean, it just, again, humanizes the people around the table with you. When you realize that everybody has things they're scared about, everyone has worries, everyone is just going to have good days and bad days. That stuff's really critical. And creating an environment as a leader where that's actually okay. It's okay to do those things and have those emotions and acknowledge that some days are good, some days are bad. Again, that unconditional positive regard where we believe everybody's doing their best work. Some days it might be better than other days.
Yeah. On this podcast, we talk to people like yourself, and I know your friends and our friends too, the Hannah Yardleys of the world, the Karis Cooks, the Javsides, the legendary Joanna Kimmich, people like this. And we get a lot of feedback around, wow, you know, they're so accomplished and great to have them, and I'd love for you to connect them. But there's also a lot of younger people earlier on in their career, and there's a theme of questions that we get that say, hey, when you have people on like yourself, Lori, can you ask them how to do this? And one of those themes is, especially now, we're going through a time of a lot of unknown, right? Especially with AI coming. Like, there's a lot of unknown. How do we have confidence going into those situations where we don't know what's going to happen, but we're in a position where we're responsible for a lot of people and how their lives look based on where we're going? And again, you don't have that crystal ball. So what would the advice be to people going into those situations where you just don't know?
I would tell them to get curious. Get curious, ask questions. Somehow, you know, if you eliminate that need to be right all the time and be the smartest person in the room, it actually unlocks an ability to really digest what's being said to you, really see what's out there and what's coming your way. AI was a great example. There's so much within that, especially within the HR space, that you don't even know how to harness. But if you can get curious, You can align your skill sets to where the business is going. You can have better conversations with your leader about what growth looks like for you, where your skills can grow. You can have different conversations with your colleagues. We talked this morning, Robin, when you know how to do something and I know how to do something, and we put those together, we are going to create something magical. And I think those are the key components. It's that curiosity that actually helps to drive growth, drive progression, and really set everybody up for success for tomorrow.
You know those people where you'll say something to them, and we all have these group of friends, and they'll say, oh yeah, that's interesting. And then you have friends or associates or business partners, in my case, where I'll say something to Al, and he will ask me so many questions. And I find it so helpful. And it's because he's got a really good trait in him, and it does great on the podcast. Curious. It's not just I'll make a statement and then that's the end of it. It's, hey, tell me more and tell me why you think about that. Oh, and have you thought about this? I think that is such a good trait. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's maybe not something that everyone is born with, but it is certainly something that you can work on. And it's asking questions. And I think you had said it in your answer. There's something magical about being curious and getting to know. And you will get answers that you didn't expect. And it will take you down a path. But the end result will be you will get to know that person so much better. And you'll probably discover things about yourself that you might not have known either. So that's fantastic.
And I also think that at the core of it, everybody wants to be seen, heard, and appreciated. So when you get curious, you're doing all of those things. You're really listening. You're seeing what they're saying. You're trying to understand. You're appreciating the perspective that they're bringing to the table. Whether you agree or not doesn't matter. But what matters is you're hearing them out. You're appreciating their perspective. And all those components, that seeing, hearing, appreciating, is critical to creating relationships, building teams, fostering collaboration and authenticity at work. And something I think we need to drive a little bit more in the workforce, encouraging that curiosity.
I agree.
And just for the record, Robin makes me sound so much better than I really am. After I ask him those questions and I leave the office, I like go and I roll my eyes and I'm like, oh my God.
But he doesn't do it in front of me.
Yeah.
Right.
He makes me feel seen and heard. That's important.
That's the key.
He's got it, right?
Laurie, I'm going to go off script a little bit here and I'm going to ask you a question. But I'm not totally off script because you alluded to this a little bit just a minute ago. So I'm going to ask you, what does success look like to you?
That's a great question. I think earlier in my career, I would have told you it was something to do with achievement, right? Something to do with level or salary or, you know, this perfect image of what I think we were sold is what success is. But 18 plus years in, let's call it almost 20 years in, success for me is actually about feeling great about the work I'm doing, fostering and mentoring the folks around me to be their best selves, whether they're peers at the executive table, they're my clients, they're employees that are earlier in their career. It's helping to enable them to help themselves. It's being able to say, the person that I managed 20 years ago still phones me. That feels like success to me. Having this network of executives who still phone me when something is, you know, they're not sure of something. Creating those relationships, having that deep network, that's what success is. Working with great people. And you started off, Robin, by talking about how relationship building and connections and how great people meet great people. That's what it is. It's about the quality of the relationships you've built, that authenticity in yourself and feeling settled in yourself. I really think it's those three things, you know, feeling settled, being able to be authentic, and developing those clear relationships and that quality in the relationships you have.
Yeah, and I love that. And Robin alluded to this a little bit earlier, you know, when you said it, it's changed, right, since the time that you started out. And as Robin said earlier, with age comes wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to, when I'd get a haircut and I started realizing when I would look down, there were more gray hairs than brown. I was upset at first because, of course, the male ego is just, oh, I can't believe it. But I've come to embrace that, especially from a coaching perspective. One of the greatest joys, which I never expected, was having an impact on people at our company. And one recent example, we had a fellow leave. And at first, I was like, oh my gosh, he's leaving. That's terrible. And then through chats with our HR person, and she's, well, he's actually ARIA alumni now. And the way it has worked out, he has become one of our best account executives because he went to an insurance company. He has gone to bat for us many, many times, and it's worked out really well. And I love knowing that we had such a positive impact on his career because he's developed and gone on to do great things, and he still works with us. So I'm really happy everything's worked out that way. And again, in my younger days, I might have held a grudge and just said, oh, okay, you're not here anymore. We're done with you. And that wisdom allows you to say, hey, there's always that silver lining, right? And good people are good people, whether they are with your company or they've moved on to something else.
It's so interesting you say that. One of the first companies that I worked with, their slogan at the time was something to the effect of like, we want you to have the best career you can while you're here. And we acknowledge that you might leave. And early in my career, I didn't, and obviously I'm paraphrasing, I'm butchering it, but early in my career, I just didn't understand it. I was like, what do you mean? People are not going to stay here forever. Like, you build the best people here, you keep them here. That's what you want to do. But exactly to your point, they become alumni and you never know where someone's pathing is going to take them. And you want them to have had such a good experience that they become an ambassador for your organization.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, it goes back to that. You can be competitive, but if at the core you have a strong relationship and you have that collaboration and you foster that authentic, trusting environment, they'll be ambassadors forever. They'll drive business to you. You'll drive business to them. And it becomes like a mutually beneficial ecosystem, for lack of a better term.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, Al, I think we've arrived at the part of the episode where I'm always curious. See, curious, curiosity. I'm curious to hear your answer, Lori, because Al does have his signature questions, a little more philosophical in nature. And if you're up for it, we'd love to throw it at you.
For sure.
Here we go. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So as a leader shaping change, shaping workplace culture, what proverbial trees are you planting to support the next generation of professionals?
For me, it's really about, it's almost a three-pronged approach. It's the one-on-one mentorship and coaching that I'm doing to really help people be able to be their authentic selves in the workplace. It's working with my clients on the cultures that they're creating so they can start to foster environments where people can set boundaries, encourage growth, build trust, foster collaboration in a way that feels meaningful for them. Because ultimately, we want them to drive incredibly successful careers and create incredibly successful support networks and ecosystems. But in order to do that, helping to help people enable themselves by creating in themselves those skill sets of trust, authenticity, vulnerability, and being able to show up as their best selves really is what's going to help drive that workforce further. That resiliency is going to help to build better organizations. And really, that's the place I'm playing in right now. How can I help mentor, coach, guide individuals, teams, and cultures to support those key core values as, you know, organizations build and, you know, we go on with our careers.
Laura, I appreciate that. And it's obvious that you are very passionate about how you approach the workplace and building the culture. So I really appreciate you not just sharing that answer with us, but everything that you said today. It's been really great to hear.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to have some time to talk about these more cerebral HR ideas that we don't often get the time to unpack.
I'm sure there are going to be future conversations, and I'm going to tell you about something a little special we're doing after the podcast, so stay tuned for that. For listeners who are interested in learning more about what you're doing, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Definitely on LinkedIn. My name, very easy to find, and I look forward to hearing from folks.
All right. Well, Lori, this has been awesome. Such a pleasure. Well, that does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. We saw it here today. Success leaves clues. We'll see you next time.